Hi everyone, and welcome to Talking Insomnia. I'm super excited to have Coach Brittany with us. Welcome.
Thanks, Danielle. Super excited to be here.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well.
All right. Very, very well. So for those of you who don't know Brittany, she was a guest about a year ago in Talking Insomnia number 75. So if you want to hear Brittany share like her full story, it is right there. But a big part of your story was that you did this this Ironman triathlon on virtually no sleep. So it's a very remarkable story. But yeah, now you're a coach, and we'll talk about that in a second. But first, this is, you know, in our new series of like life after insomnia. So after we talked last time about a year ago, sleep-wise, it's, how have things been?
Things have been great. Yeah, I don't really have issues with sleeping as far as insomnia goes. Like, I mean, I still have small children, so I'm getting woken up in the middle of the night. Like, for instance, last night was not a good night. I woke up probably 4 or 5 times because my son had a really bad night, but I fell back asleep instantly. So I don't call this insomnia. I just call it sleep disruption because I'm a mom, and that's part of being a mom. So, but yeah, so I haven't had really any issues, and I just feel like, you know, it's so nice to just to know, like, you know, what my brain's doing when, you know, I do have like those little hints of anxiety that do start to pop up. I'm like, and I'm able to work through it, and it never really turns into actual insomnia.
Yeah. So nice to hear that. And I just remember one time, like in our, you know, coaches or our coaches Slack channel, you mentioned something. This was maybe like 4 months ago where something happened and you were like, you realized how much you learned because you responded in a very different way. Do you remember that? You were sort of like, I'm really happy with this. I see how much I've learned. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think it was talking about kind of like the self-kindness. I think it was related to, I found out I was pregnant, and then I was just dealing a lot with all the like normal pregnancy symptoms, tired and fatigue. And I was starting to beat myself up a lot about, man, I'm not able to do stuff because I just don't feel well and I'm not motivated. And I'm like, wow, I'm just not being productive. And, you know, I am not doing all these things I want to do with my kids as well. And it was just, but then I like caught myself so early on, and I was able to like just be kind to myself and offer myself more like kindness and just all that, you know, love and all that, you know, woo woo stuff. But it was just, it just felt so good to like realize that I can take like a different path, and I don't have to, you know, judge myself, you know, just because, you know, I'm not going down like the certain, or being able to do what I want to do, or, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And to me, it's like one of those times where we see how like this journey through insomnia and learning, it applies like everywhere in life. Like what you just shared, it really kind of didn't have anything to do with insomnia, but you just saw these patterns of like, oh, I'm starting to beat myself up for not doing this, for not doing that, instead of like being gentle and kind with yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then you notice if you're able to offer yourself that kindness, that everything really just does go smoother. And even if, you know, the day doesn't go perfect, you're still able to like, you know, accept and, you know, enjoy, you know, what you are able to do, and enjoy like how everything does turn out. So
super nice to hear that. And now, as you may have heard me say this, I've done like maybe 3 or 4 of these like life after insomnia interviews, and it tends to be like not that much to talk about because most people are like, yeah, I left the struggle behind and now I'm doing well. But we have other things to talk about as well, which is that you are a coach now, you graduated as a coach quite a while back, and you are actually kind of niching down, helping other moms who have trouble sleeping, have insomnia. So tell us a little bit more what you're doing and how things going in the coaching space.
Oh yeah. I've been coaching moms. So I'm just primarily trying to focus on moms, whether it's prenatal, postnatal, that have been struggling with sleep. So right now I'm doing like one-on-one coaching, and I started a Facebook group to help people just feel like more supported and have that community going. I'm just slowly trekking along, hoping to create a course soon as well that's geared just to moms.
So wonderful. And of course, anyone who wants to get in touch with Coach Brittany, I'll leave all the contact details in the description. And I do remember you saying that at least one person has said, like, I'm so happy I found you, because they had really never come across anyone, you know, with your message. Similarly to you, you never really came across anyone who had gone through the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I never, when I was going through it, it was really tough because there wasn't really a whole lot about my particular postpartum insomnia outside of, you know, your normal stuff that you find online, which is, you know, that sleep hygiene, just, you know, follow this list of stuff, but it didn't really help a lot. And it wasn't, you know, focused exactly on like the particular, you know, postpartum insomnia either. So I thought, you know, it'd be really helpful just to, you know, focus on moms so that they know that they're not alone and that this is a common issue that so many other moms are going through. I've had some clients like that found me, like, wow, I finally feel like, you know, I'm not alone in the struggle and that they feel understood, which that feels so good to me because I'm like, that is how I wanted to feel when I was going through it.
Exactly. Oh, so nice to hear that. And speaking of which, you know, I know you mentioned at some point you mentioned that you were getting a lot of questions and you know, it was actually hard for you to keep up with like answering people's questions, et cetera. So I said, oh, hey, why don't we, you know, turn this into some content that can be really helpful for anyone, but really mostly for moms out there. So I have these three questions that we, you know, we prepared before coming on here that are very common. So let's jump into it and see what you say about this one. So first one, actually, you had gotten this question from someone named Natasha, who shared her story, but basically said that, you know, she would wake up just to feed her baby around 4 a.m. And after that, it was like so difficult for her. She was so wired and really didn't fall asleep with that. So what are your thoughts when somebody would ask you this? Like, what do I do if I wake up my, you know, to feed my kid at 3 or 4 and then don't fall back asleep again? What would you say, or what do you think when you hear this?
So my thoughts for this is, I think it's very similar to if you can't fall asleep at night. Same thing, you know, you're in this hyper aroused state and you might just be feeling a little more anxious. So it could be just helpful to, you know, find something that you can do that, you know, makes you feel a little more safe. So I know, like for me, when I was going through it and I would be up in the middle of the night, initially I would just try to, you know, force myself to fall back asleep in bed, but that's often, you know, not helpful. So I would get out of bed and do something that I really enjoyed doing, like reading a book or watching a TV show. But another thing that was helpful is just being able to recognize, oh yeah, this is just, you know, my body is, you know, it's alert. You know, I woke up to feed my baby. That's a very normal thing to do, like as a mom. You know, that's what all moms, you know, do, especially, you know, the first, you know, few months. And then, you know, just being able to recognize, oh yes, this is normal. My brain, it being awake and alert, this is also a normal thing. My brain's just, you know, feeling like it needs to protect me a little bit right now. It thinks there's a threat because I'm awake right now. It's afraid of being awake. So I think just the recognizing of what's going on, and then being able to just, you know, do something that feels good to you. Like it might be staying in bed and being able to just, you know, feel your emotions and feel what's going on in your body, or it might be getting out of bed and doing something you enjoy. And then you know, maybe you can go back to sleep for a little bit and maybe at 4 a.m., maybe you won't be able to go back to sleep. And that's another part, is learning to accept not sleeping perfect. And that's such a hard thing to do, but I think that's a big part of the process, is just not learning to accept those nights when maybe you won't be, you know, sleeping as much as, you know, on a typical normal night.
Yeah, as much as you'd like to, 100%. And isn't it interesting, like, as you were talking, I remember another question that comes up, or I've heard maybe once or twice, which was somebody said, well, here's the thing, like, often my standard kind of rhetorical question when I hear something like this would be like, how do you know it's 4 a.m., right? And then kind of the point is like, you know, if you don't check the time off, and that can be really helpful. But then I remember one mom who asked, like, I have to feed my kid every 3 hours or every 4 hours. So I sort of have to keep track of the time. And that can be a little tricky. It kind of, it's hard to do this like timeless thing that we you know, find very helpful often. So have you come across that one or any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I feel like that's also very common. And for me, I think when I was going through it with my second child after I'd been through insomnia, I was a little worried about that as well, because it's like, well, I'm going to have to wake up every 2 to 3 hours and I'm going to know the time. And I haven't been looking at clocks for 2 years. So I'm like, how's this going to work? But just for me, normalizing it and realizing this is completely normal, like waking up to feed my child, that's totally normal. And I my body has the ability and capability to fall back asleep. And my sleep, this is might not be great. And waking up every 2 hours always doesn't feel so great, but that's okay too. And it's just such a short phase. And I know that it will be over was very helpful as well.
Yeah. All right. Well said. Well said. Now, another question here that comes up sometimes is this one, like, is it true that like my milk supply will decrease if I'm not getting enough sleep? Obviously a mom who's, you know, who wants to breastfeed, but is worried that they can't do that if they're not sleeping enough hours. So, have you come across this one or thoughts on this one?
I haven't heard anyone talk to me about this one, but I remember having that same thought as well, because I was breastfeeding my daughter. And I don't think that there's any like anything like research or anything that's backing it that says your milk supply will decrease if you, you know, don't sleep 8 hours or whatever it might be. And I think a lot of this also can be tied to, you know, what you think might happen is often much worse than what will happen. And yeah, oftentimes, you know, what our body is capable of doing is so much more than we think. So for me, my milk supply never decreased. Even when I was sleeping only, you know, 30 minutes a night, I was still breastfeeding my daughter. So yeah, so that's my personal experience. And yeah, so from what I know, as far as research goes and personal experience, I don't think that it does decrease.
Oh, well said. And you know, as I'm talking to you, I'm like, it's so much value having like a coach who like all these questions, like you can relate to them. You have own experiences that's incredibly mm-hmm. valuable. And yeah, I have nothing to add. I've also seen no evidence of this. And kind of the anecdotal evidence we have on our channel from a few people is same as yours, that it mm-hmm. didn't become a problem at all, actually. And finally, one more here that I've heard maybe once or twice is a mom who's like worried about their little baby. They're like, okay, I had insomnia during my pregnancy. Can that now be passed on to my baby? Or generally speaking, can like insomnia be like passed on to my baby? Like, what do you think about this one?
Well, I think insomnia is a learned habit or trait or whatever you want to call it. So your baby has to learn insomnia. And I think you have to be a certain age in order to learn it, because, you know, your brain has to just, you know, have a certain cognitive ability to think in certain ways. So I don't think you can pass insomnia to your baby. I think that's something that as you're older, it's something that you like kind of learn through, you know, a lot of different factors, you know, or messaging, you know, health and all that stuff. And then just anxiety about not having perfect sleep and all these pressures to sleep. So yeah, your baby, I don't think will ever have insomnia.
Very, very well. Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's not like inherited like that. It's learned, as you said. And that interestingly led me to think about some things related to kids and sleep. Like, you know, how in our, again, in our coach's Slack channel, Coach Veronica brought something up about like melatonin, how parents sometimes are told to give their like 3-month-old or like 5-month-old baby melatonin, which, it makes you wonder why. But I mean, the question, I guess, an interesting discussion here for us becomes, you just said, and I agree with that, you have to be at a certain age to have what we call insomnia, because like it's quite advanced thought patterns to be like, what if I don't sleep, what's going to happen? Like this fear of being awake doesn't happen in like a 3-year-old and 4-year-old. So what are your thoughts? I know this is kind of not part of our curriculum, but I'm just generally fun to discuss this. When a parent says like, oh, my 3-year-old, 4-year-old can't sleep. What do you think about that? What do you think is happening?
I mean, it's very normal for the parent to be frustrated and just like, okay, I want this phase to be over. I want to be able to sleep. I think melatonin isn't probably not the right path, just because you're kind of enforcing that you need external things to help you sleep, and that your body doesn't have this natural sleep drive that will just do its thing. So I think that, you know, it is obviously, you know, there's a lot of marketing and they're trying to push all these sleep products and sleep supplements and that. And if you're someone that's like, you know, feeling sleep deprived, you're going to want to just get whatever, you know, you can to just get your kid to sleep. But I think it being able to just realize that it's okay that your kid isn't sleeping perfectly and just trying to work through like what the deep root of the issue is probably what's going to be most beneficial in the long term. Because if you're just starting off with these supplements, you're teaching the kid that, oh, if you can't sleep, you just need to take all this external stuff. And that kind of sets them off on not the best path, because then they start to think of sleep as something that's not innate, something that you need to control.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. And it's interesting because I think exactly like you said, insomnia actually doesn't exist in like very young children. So sometimes it's almost like the if you want to help a parent, you know, then it's almost like befriending wakefulness by proxy. Like you as a parent have to like befriend your child, like be okay with your child being awake, not see that as a threat, you know. It's interesting, we're moving from kind of like momsomnia now to like, you know, child insomnia things. But anyways, very, very cool. Anything else you want to add here before we finish up or say to the community?
No, not that I can think of. I can't think of anything.
Oh, that's good. That means we covered everything. So I'll post all your details to Coach Brittany's, so you can connect with Coach Brittany in the comment section. And we'll look forward to having you back soon.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Bye for now.
Bye.